Welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne live in studio with Keith Gabe and Rich Calkins. And guys, I didn't assume that we would continue to be dealing with COVID in sports and in general. I mean, it continues to be a major factor in everything that goes on in American life, and so I guess the sporting world should be no different. But boy, Keith, there's so many different opinions about what's going on, how some of these leagues are handling this stuff, especially the athletes who have been vaccinated, who are screaming bloody murder about not being asymptomatic but not allowing to play. Some leagues are allowing them to play. I mean, it's just crazy.
It is, JC, and I'll tell you what, everything we talk about in the next hour or so with regard to this is going to be old news when we walk out of here, because it's such a fluid, ever-changing situation. Just as I was driving in, listening to some sports talk radio, I heard the reported news that the game between Boston at Montreal tomorrow night has been postponed. Boston's supposed to play in Ottawa on Sunday. That game is still on, but we don't know. And Rich, you mentioned it off the air before the show. Last night, the Montreal Canadiens and Philadelphia Flyers played to an empty building. This is like pre-March.
It is. It's
2020.
Right. It's just crazy, the things, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same and keep going back a couple of years here.
And, for example, there's three NFL teams right now that have over 20 players out. And as JC mentioned, the protocols, a lot of people now, and the NFL is changing in their protocols as we speak. Because they're saying, like, Baker Mayfield was the big one to speak out about it, saying, I'm fully vaccinated, I'm asymptomatic, how come I can't play? So the NFL is working with the NFLPA, working together, trying to get something so these players can come back quicker.
And you have other players in all the other sports saying, why are we even playing? Why are we buying? Mm-hmm. You know, we never know whether a game's going to be postponed or not. The Red Wings didn't know whether they were going to play in Carolina last night.
Yes.
Until about 28 hours before that game. They flew down there. They wound up playing. Both teams were missing key players because of COVID. In the NFL, the Rams, Browns, and Washington alone have 67 players.
Yeah.
How do you play those games?
Tell me what happened last week with the Lions. The guys that actually had the flu, played football, guys that were asymptomatic but had tested positive for COVID were standing on the sidelines.
Yep.
The guys with the flu throwing up in between plays,
yep.
Guys in street clothes, 100% healthy.
Yeah. I get it. I don't know, JC. There's no right or wrong answers. We've never faced a situation like this before. We're in the fifth or sixth wave of this virus right now, and not making any progress. I thought we were 6 months ago. Thought we were past it.
Right.
We're not.
Well, you know, not everybody is vaccinated. People that are vaccinated get COVID. I mean, we have somebody in the company right now who was vaccinated, had full-blown COVID symptoms.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So, there's not easy answers. And I guess you got to start making rational assumptions about life and how you're going to live it. Because it's not going to go away.
No, it's something we have to live with.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's right. And, the good news... The good news, I think, is that those of us who are vaccinated, if we get the virus again, we don't get it as hard. It's that you don't get it real.
But that's
real
not 100% certainty either.
No,
there isn't anything. You know, I guess it's just pretty much like life. You know, it's uncertain what's going to happen. You get up in the morning, you run your day, and you go home and. And maybe along the way you catch COVID, or you're in a car accident, or something
else.
Or
you get 63 mile an hour winds.
Yes, life is life is a bowl of cherries.
And all these teams, or these leagues, the NBA, the Players Association, and the NBA got together and have more stringent protocol now. The NHL has locked down its players on the road. You know, instead of being tested once every 3 days, they're getting tested once or twice a day now. And when they're on the road, they're locked down in their hotels. There's no going to dinner. There's no going out to play when you're on the road.
Right.
And nothing like that anymore, at least for a while.
The NHL has, you can't compare the NHL to any of the other leagues because they have the whole Canadian issue to deal with.
That's correct.
It's as simple as that.
And now what complicates this even more is the Olympics coming up.
They're not going to play the
Olympics. I can't imagine that they are. They still haven't made that decision, though. But that's another wrench. You know, players now are thinking, they're hearing that if they get COVID over there, they're going to have to sequester themselves for 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
Before they can come back.
Well, I heard it's a 3-week quarantine before they can go to China to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not going to play.
I can't.
You're talking about eating up the absolute rest of the season.
I wish they'd pull the plug on that right now.
Well, you know the NHL. I don't want to point fingers at the NHL. That, like we said, they have a little bit different issues to deal with than the NBA does, than the NFL does, and you try to make the most informed decision that you can make. But that's difficult.
Yes,
it is.
Yes, it is.
As Keith mentioned, it's such a fluid situation. Things change like minute by minute, Keith.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, what we're talking about right now, an hour from now or whatever, we're going to hear news about something totally different.
Honestly, it really wouldn't surprise me, Rich, if we left here this morning after the show and sometime this afternoon heard that the leagues are pausing for a while. And it could be different in every sport, but I fully expect the NHL to pause very, very soon.
Yeah.
Well, last night's game, Carolina played with the complement of 16 skaters.
Two fewer.
No, because more players are having to play more minutes, and they get more fatigued. It leads to injury.
I agree.
You got to think about protecting the players.
No, and I don't know if the NBA is going to postpone some of the games this week because of the number of players. I mean, when you have a 53-man roster and you got 20 people on COVID that are not going to be allowed to play.
Right. You don't have practice squads that big anymore. You know, so you're bringing street people off to play games, and once it's to that, look.
I can't believe that the NFL hasn't expanded the practice squads. They added extra game. The injury situation, forget about COVID for just a minute. Injury situation in the NFL is severe.
Yes, it is.
I mean, look at the Baltimore Ravens, who was my pick to go to the Super Bowl, can barely field a football team.
Right.
You know, the Lions have been through. Everybody, when the amount of injuries that you have on your football team determines who wins the Super Bowl, that is something that needs to be taken a harder look at, and why they don't allow another 20 people to be on the football teams is absolutely insane. They'd have no problems filling those rosters.
Right. Yeah.
But, so what is the issue there?
I've always thought the 53-man roster is ridiculous. And then there's like four or five guys that are ineligible each and every game, so you actually only play with like 48 players in a game, which is when you need 11 on a side, and you think about that.
Offense, defense, special teams.
Yes. It's just absolutely
34
ridiculous.
34 players. So you're talking about, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know why you never hear that question asked of Roger Goodell. Why is this never talked about?
Right.
I mean, we can't be the only three people in the world.
Especially if when it comes time to negotiating a contract, expand the rosters.
Expand the rosters.
Roster to 70 players, for goodness.
Is it about the owners?
Right.
You've got to pay those guys.
Right.
It's all money.
It's the only thing.
And the health insurance.
And the NFL
that
prints
goes
money,
with
for God's sake.
It makes the NBA's got the G League. They're talking about moving these guys around and everything else. So there's so much money at stake in every instance, and there's money at stake for the players.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
for
it'll be interesting now. Just jumping ship real quick, guys. If Major League Baseball is looking at this and like, How much does this going to factor into the negotiations of a new Major League Baseball contract?
Right. Sure.
That's right. That's yep. right. Yeah.
I mean, because talk about skinny rosters.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Baseball has as skinny a rosters as you can possibly imagine.
Yep.
So, you know, if I'm the if I'm Tony Clark, I'm you know, you guys got to expand the rosters from 25 to 30.
Right.
I mean, it's as simple as that.
But boy, the owners will fight that tooth and nail.
But why? When it ultimately it leads to a better product, and then they would avoid shutdowns, and they wouldn't be scrambling around like they're scrambling now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this is oversimplifying it, but you know, there might be a give and take on both sides. We'll expand the rosters to 30 people, but we're gonna have a salary cap.
Yeah.
Now, let's talk that a little
right.
bit. You know, if you have cost certainty,
sure.
30 players, we can work with that.
It's always give and take, no See? Question about it.
Yeah,
it's a negotiation.
But
it makes sense.
Got to do something.
Yeah,
no, you know, it just look at you got 100 guys on the sidelines in an NCAA game.
Yes.
So. Yep. It just none of it makes sense. Maybe it's just too rational, too logical.
Yeah. Don't let logic get in the way of a
exactly.
good story.
That's exactly right. You know, let's just stop this right here. I know it's an early break right now. We'll put together the actual sports portion of Friday Face Off.
We got about sports.
Yeah,
well, right.
yeah.
Oh, good.
So we'll head to break.
Good.
Keith, Rich, and I'll try to figure out exactly what that's going to mean, and we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Q1 on Up North Sports Radio Friday Face Off, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Welcome back to Friday Face Off on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne in studio with Keith Gave, Rich Calkins, and Keith. You know. The Wings have been holding their own.
They have.
As opposed to their brethren, the Pistons, who, boy, oh, boy, I don't even know what to say about the Pistons. So we'll start with the Wings in a game that I didn't have anything to do with. I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. But shorthanded, woefully shorthanded, on especially on the Carolina side.
Yeah, Carolina dressed only 16 skaters, too short of the complement, and they're missing their best player, Sebastian Aho, not there. And the Wings were missing Fabry and Rasmus, two important players for them. You know, I mean, you're kind of playing with one hand tied behind your back. It's both teams were missing players, so I'm not going to go there. But the Wings are playing pretty well, but they lost four or five. They're struggling on the road a little bit. They played one of the best. The Carolina's one of the best teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
They're real good.
Yeah, they are real
and,
good.
And, you know, the Wings got down early. They fought back and tied it 3-3. The kid, Lucas Raymond, two more assists last night.
That one pass to Larkin was a beaut, wasn't it? Oh, my God.
Good, I'm telling you, he's good. But, you know, they gave up a third period goal midway through and then an empty net goal, lost 5-3. But they're still hanging on. We're pushing Christmas, folks, and they're still hanging on to the second wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. That's not going to last, I don't think. But the fact that they're there... is selling tickets when they're playing at home, where they're playing very, very good hockey. They're drawing more people now, and that's good to see.
They are. Watching the game yesterday, Keith, and everything around that, it was just, Lucas Raymond, I mean, his vision on the ice is amazing. I mean, because Larkin was, you know, busting his butt up the left side of the rink there, left center part of the, and out of the corner of his eye, he flips the puck up in the air over a couple of defenders, hits Larkin in stride, and Larkin, of course, catches the puck and drops it down in front, and man, he breaks off backhanded goal. Sweet play. That kid, for a rookie, is really amazing.
And the other guy we should mention as a rookie is Moritz Seider. You know, he's come in. I told everybody be careful. Don't have such high expectations.
Right.
Defense is hard to play in this league for a 20-year-old kid. He is the most poised defenseman they have, the best defenseman they have at age 20, and he continues to play at a really, really – he is a game-controlling defenseman.
Yes.
And I can only imagine what he's going to look like at age 25.
Sure. He never gets rattled.
Never.
The puck's in his hand, he's willing to, you know, manipulate around the ice and turn around and do things with it that most guys his size, you don't see him do.
The finesse and puck handling and all that is extraordinary for 20. Year old kid in this league, but he also plays a decent physical game too. He don't mind hitting either,
right,
or getting hit to make a play, holding on to the puck a little longer to hit a guy with open.
Now, does Carolina play that kind of defense all the time where they were shutting down?
I've watched them a few times. They can't any way you want to play.
Right. I mean, I was really – it looked like old-time hockey where they're not going to allow you to establish.
They're one of those teams, if they get a lead on you, they're really hard to beat. And, they got decent goaltending. They had really good defense.
That Anderson kid's playing great.
It's good to see Carolina. And you notice that crowd there. They have a lot of fun there.
Yes.
It's really good to see in really kind of non-hockey markets.
Yes.
They have a blast in Carolina, I'll tell you. Nashville is like that, too.
Yep.
I'm hoping that Florida gets there. Florida's having a great season this year, and they've been having, difficulty drawing fans to the building there. And they're right up there with Carolina is one of the best teams. Carolina, Tampa,
hopefully
Florida.
The Florida Panthers don't turn into a fan reaction like how Tampa baseball fans are.
Oh, yeah.
They'll have great, consistently really good teams, and very few people show up to the games. They don't appreciate the kind of play that they're putting out there.
We mentioned those three teams, Carolina, Florida, Tampa, and the other team is Toronto. Great team. All four of those teams are in Detroit's division. Carolina's not. But
right,
that's a tough division to make the playoffs in.
Sure. Yeah. The regardless of how much the Wings improve, that's arguably the best division in hockey. And so, even if they do make the playoffs, it's going to be a short trip for the next few years.
True. So that's right. If people in Tampa, fans in Tampa are getting frustrated because they're struggling a little bit, but you got to remember, they've won two Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
They played a ton of hockey in the last couple of years, and the Wings learned that in the 90s.
Yeah.
You got to ratchet it down a little bit and save a little, pace themselves for the playoffs. People in Tampa shouldn't be worried. They still have the best team.
Well, and they get everybody's best game every night. We saw that with the Wings. We've seen that with the Pistons when they're good.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The Pistons they are unbelievably bad.
Yeah.
I didn't think they would regress with Cade Cunningham on this roster because he is turning out to be the player that I thought he would.
Yep.
Yes.
Now, it doesn't help that Jeremy Grant is now out for a while.
Yeah, 6 weeks at least.
I don't know how to explain what I see with the Pistons.
It's frightening.
Most games they'll battle, and they'll stay close for a while, and then all of a sudden...
What do you mean? The most games they're leading.
Yeah. I mean, and then they just can't... they're just... That inexperience shows. JC, and like you said, I'm really happy to see Cade Cunningham, the progression he's making. Whether driving to the hole, I like that, not just settling for three-point shots and outside shooting. He can put the ball on the floor. Still, of course, turnovers seem to be an issue, but again, that'll get better as he realizes the speed of the league and everything about it and how people play defenses against him.
They can't shoot. I mean, for the most part, the Pistons are lousy shooters. It's the same problem with U of M. U of M can't hit the broad side of a barred door. They cannot shoot the basketball.
When they were a good shooting team a year before.
It's mind-boggling.
Yes.
The inconsistencies of the ability to shoot the ball from any type of distance. And so it clogs up everything in the middle. And I'm kind of referring to Michigan right now. Dickinson has not progressed as much as I thought he would.
Right.
Michigan is as confounding to watch play basketball as the Pistons are.
Yeah.
Probably more so because you expected so much more out of Michigan. They never should have let Smith go. They should have begged him. I don't. He's playing somewhere in Europe or whatever.
Have him stick around that extra year.
Yeah,
that
he could have done that. You know, because all the other teams, like Baylor, is great. They won the national championship and lost three starters.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and to be quite frankly with it, I don't think Juwan Howard knows what to do. You know, he says the right things after the game. You know, well, we'll get it worked out or anything else. I don't think they have a clue on how to get it worked out. I don't think they have the wings to do so. I mean, they have got to run the offense differently to get better shots that are closer to the hoop, Rich.
Yeah. Yeah, there. I mean, obviously there was a heralded recruiting class coming in with the Houston kid and things like that, but they just haven't played up to that level that you see a lot of freshmen do when they come in from high school. You know, I mean, look at what's going on in Memphis, too. They won a big game the other night.
I watched that game. That was...
But they've lost, what, four or five games that they wouldn't have anticipated losing in?
Did you watch that game?
Yeah, I watched part of it. I mean...
It was the ADHD game I've ever seen in my entire life.
Imani Bates didn't play...
Running around.
It was helter-skelter.
Oh, my God. It looked like a seventh-grade basketball game in AAU where every kid on both sides of the floor thinks he's a superstar.
And there's some strife amongst the troops because they have some upperclassmen that have been around a few years, obviously, and then these young kids, the Imani Bates and all that, and they've been getting a lot of the playing time. Well, you see what they did at the end of... Imani Bates didn't see the floor the last 10 minutes of that game.
Right.
Because he didn't. They kept him out because, I mean, Imani Bates, for all his skill, isn't much of a defender. He likes to shoot the rock and all that. But they went with the older guys, and that's how they won that game.
Yeah, no, I mean, it looks like a Chinese fire drill.
I know.
You know, and you could say the same thing. Who did they beat? It was...
A good top five or top 10 team.
It wasn't Texas. It wasn't Houston. I'm trying to remember who it was now.
Right.
Who plays at a really fast pace as well.
Alabama? Was it?
No, it wasn't Virginia. Michigan is, I mean, if Michigan played that Memphis team, they'd get run out of the building.
Yeah.
I mean, they have gotten run out of the building a couple of times. I mean, North Carolina just bludgeoned them. And I think Michigan suffers from a lack of confidence. When they shoot the ball, they're hoping it goes in. When you can't score the basketball on a consistent basis, it really destroys the whole fabric of a basketball team.
The good news is that they're in a stretch right now where they're practicing a lot.
Yeah.
They've got like two non-conference games against easily beatable opponents in about an 18-day stretch.
Right.
Michigan State has one game in 19 days, I think. So both those teams are doing, hopefully, they're taking a little bit of a break and practicing a lot, which is what Michigan really needs.
But sometimes you just don't make your shots. I mean, there's good shooting teams and there's not good shooting teams. And like I said, going back to the Pistons don't have consistent outside shooting.
Sadiq Bey struggled big time. That sophomore slump is a real deal with him.
No doubt.
I think he scored 28 last night.
28 and 10.
So he played much better last night, but he hasn't done that enough. He was so consistent last year as a rookie, but this year he just hasn't been able to hit. He's 10% below his 3-point as the deer run by our studio here. That's very nice.
That's a lot of
that.
That's a huge hurt.
So to drop 10 percentage points on the outside, that hurts.
But we talked about that, and part of it is the fact that he's on everybody's, you know, was the one consistent outside shooting threat that they had. Look, Killian Hayes can't shoot.
Right.
That was always my thought about the issues with drafting him. And Cunningham can shoot it, but it's not the strength of his game.
Right.
For an easy example, you need a Steph Curry. You need somebody who can fill it up from the outside. And that's the problem with the Lakers until this Reed kid showed up the other night.
Is there a Steph Curry out there in college basketball who will be available with the number one pick again next?
Yeah,
the Pistons are going to end up with a number one pick, and I haven't seen enough college basketball to tell you, but I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
and that's who you know. I, you guys know from a long time ago, from last year, Cade Cunningham was the guy that I wanted to draft.
Yes.
Okay, but now you've got to get somebody who can fill it up. You need World Be Free.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Where Kenny Johnson, where are you?
Yes.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. World Be Free. He's open as soon as he walks
in
the
right.
gym.
I can't get my 40 if I don't have the Rock.
Hey, we mentioned the Wings and the Pistons briefly in this segment. Just one kind of a cool note. They both play on Saturday.
Yeah.
And they both play at Little Caesars Arena. The Pistons at noon and the Wings of the evening. So
cool.
I love those kind of doubleheaders. I've covered a couple of them where both teams play in the same building. You watch them take the floor down and put the ice rink up and so on. It's a pretty cool thing. The arena workers are going to get a little OT on
for
Saturday.
Sure.
Good for them. But and for Detroit fans, would it be cool to have tickets for both games and go see both?
There'll be some people doing that.
You go to the Pistons game at noontime, then you go down to,
You better have a lot of money because, not just for the ticket prices, but to eat at Little Caesars Arena.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or,
Even that Little Caesars pizza is, what, $17.50?
Right.
It's not quite the same.
They're catering to the high-end crowd
I think they clear the building, and then you can go to one of those expensive restaurants in the neighborhood down there.
Well, no, they don't. The restaurants on the periphery of that of Little Caesars Arena are always open, Keith. I mean, they're open during the day for lunch and everything
Because they have outside entrances.
They have outside entrances and everything else.
Okay. That's right.
So, the Kid Rock, and there's eight or nine restaurants that cater to the lunching crowd for the businesses around.
In the mall.
Yeah, exactly. The Pistons have gotten triple whammied. They lose their best player to injury.
Yep.
They played the hardest schedule in the NBA, and they don't have a lot of scoring options. And I don't know what this is going to mean for Dwayne Casey. If they finish this season with the number one draft pick and a way worse record than they had the year before, that's not going to be a good look.
No, it's not.
And I know it's early in the season, and I keep hearing you talk to J-Bone, we got to exercise patience. Patience is not an easy commodity to buy when you're, 50 games into the season and you got less than 10 wins.
And a coach that's supposed to be noted for really developing guards, that's always been the moniker with Dwayne Casey. Again, I'm in that same school. Let's be a little patient with him. I like Dwayne Casey. But again, it's a bottom line business. You have to have results.
They've lost 13 in a row, and the most
they
ever
haven't
lost
close.
Row 14. No,
that's the biggest issue, really.
Yeah.
I mean, they covered by a half a point last night.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm like, hooray, because, I thought they might cover. But they were getting 10 points. You could celebrate the NBA 75th anniversary on FanDuel Sportsbook right now. New customers complete their first bet risk-free. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. I bet the NBA on FanDuel because when I win, they pay me as little as 2 hours. And there are odds boosts and specials every day. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app.
Already have FanDuel Sportsbook? FanDuel is hooking up all customers with $50 when you refer a friend. Plus, your friend will get $50 also. Just invite them using the exclusive referral link at the refer icon.
Or sign up with promo code WGRY to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every NBA moment more. That's promo code WGRY, 21 and over present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
We will be back after these words from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio Friday Face-Off.
An airliner.
Welcome back to Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne, Keith Gave, Rich Calkins, all live in studio. We were giggling about the names of some of the bowl games. Keith was rattling them off as we get to bowl season starts today.
Starts tonight, JC, with the Bahamas Bowl, Middle Tennessee versus Toledo. Toledo's a 10-point favorite. And get this one. I never heard of this. The Tail Greeter Cure Bowl, Northern Illinois versus Coastal Carolina, which is a 10-point
favorite. Well, I've always been searching for a cure for being tail graded.
Tail Greeter Cure Bowl.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think you can catch that tail greeter on the docks of Saigon, Rich.
Yeah.
I was grabbing some tail and what happened. Okay. Anyways, you know, it's a funny thing. We were talking off air about Kenneth Walker Jr. and Kenny Pickett both have declared not to play in the Peach Bowl.
Yes.
Really the level taking out some of the obvious star power of that football game, and I don't think it'll keep Spartan fans from not watching. But, you know, it's interesting, Keith, we're just talking about Northern Illinois and Coastal Carolina.
Right.
And you've got these lesser bowls. You've got guys playing their butts off to get recognized, to improve their draft status and that thing. And then you've got the Highline Bowls where all these kids don't want to get hurt and everything else. It's such a weird dichotomy, you know?
Right. Yeah.
The good news here in Michigan is all five of our Division I programs have made bowl games. And that's, you know, coaches love bowl games, whether the players play or not, because they get 5 extra weeks of practice.
Right.
Yes.
And you can develop players for next season.
And that's what most of the coaches will say, is that development time for some of these, like, true freshmen and all of that, they say it's amazing to see those guys progress.
You don't win 6 games to go to a bowl game, you lose, you know, more than a month of developmental time for those players.
Oh, yeah. And so it is critical. And then, of course, you know, you've got the 4 teams that are in the semifinals. Everybody's playing. It's all hands on deck for all those teams. Although we did see Georgia's D coordinator head out the door to be the coach at Oregon.
But
and
in theory, he's going to coach, right, at the game. And then,
oh, I didn't hear that.
Yes, I think he's going to coach the game. And then after when Georgia's done, then he's going to move on.
Well, I'm sure he was not around the last week or so as we had, you know, the early signing day.
Yes.
And Georgia had a pretty damn good recruiting class. What did they ended up number two? You know, your rankings, I was listening to you talk to Jabo about it. It's so crazy how different some of the rankings are between ESPN. You used to have, there was two individual guys that used to have the rankings. Was it Hemmings and I can't remember.
I always remember the magazines that they'd come out with, those great magazines. One guy was, last name was a Steele, I think.
That's right, Steele was a guy.
Yes.
Yeah. But now you got a couple of different services, and Michigan State went from 41 to 24.
Yeah.
You know, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It depends on how you score their recruits and so on. 247, 247 Sports is probably the leading. SI's got its own. The Athletic has its own. ESPN has its own scores, recruits a little differently and so on. But, you know, the top 5, top 10 are all pretty consistent.
Yeah. That 24/7, I'm with you, Keith. That seems to be the most reliable sources, because they get an overall score. All of the recruiting guys, and there's a whole bunch of them, they put their 2 cents worth on a player,
right,
and they come up with a composite score, and that's how they do it.
Yeah, and then you get the surprises like Kentucky.
Yeah.
Kentucky grabbed the second best player out of state in the Michigan, that huge Cass Tech kid. Was it Cass kid or King?
Yeah.
One of the other, 6'7", 345.
I know. Got away from Michigan, really. They kind of wanted him. And,
yeah, but he had not committed at all. Michigan had 1 flip wrong and 4 flip the other way. So they look to have a really solid class, which is not surprising, especially the results of the season this year. I know State is very happy with their class. Plus, you never know how many other
the transfer portal's coming up, baby.
That's where Mel Tucker really earns his money in the transfer portal.
He does.
Yeah, you know, and Dabo Sweeney screaming about the transfer portal when he was the biggest proponent of it 2 years ago.
Oh, yes.
Exactly.
I mean, I didn't even see Clemson. They weren't even in the top 20.
They did not.
15 or 16, of course.
They did not have a Clemson recruiting class.
They
There's
haven't
no
in 2 years in a row.
I know.
This is the first time they've not been in the top 10 in a long time. 247 Sports got them at 16.
Yeah.
Six.
I mean, they've been in the top five, but again,
always.
They weren't last year either.
Right.
And now Swinney has got his two best coordinators gone out of the program.
Yes.
It's going to be interesting to see what Clemson is going to be like.
Because that's what caused some of the late flips from them, is because those guys were heavily recruited by their coordinators, offense and defense, of course.
It just breaks my heart.
And it just, yeah.
But, you know, Alabama stays right there at the forefront.
Alabama,
and
Georgia, Ohio State,
yep.
Penn State, had another good recruiting year.
Yeah. So, as we get bowl games coming up, and guys, we're not going to be on the air for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, it'll be three weeks from today when
That's
we're
right.
back.
So when we're back, Michigan will have already played Georgia.
Yes.
And the other semifinal game, the Cincinnati-Alabama game, you know, I don't see that being a football game at all. You know, people are saying, well, Cincinnati's got really good defensive backs. If they don't get any pressure on Bryce Young, I see that as being a complete annihilation of Cincinnati, especially if they come focused like they did against Georgia.
Yes.
So really the conversation is Michigan-Georgia.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
and,
right.
And that's why it's at prime time, too.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It should be a great football game. I'm surprised that it's still at 7.5 points. These teams have so long to prepare for this game. It'll really be fascinating to see how much has changed and how much remains the same. You know, I think you're going to see Michigan try to hammer the football, and because they've been able to do it.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, and their offensive line has been playing the best at the perfect time, you know, against Ohio State, against Iowa. And, I think the game's going to be much closer than that. I think Michigan's going to win the game.
So do I. Their running backs, you know, Blake Corum is going to be healthy, ready to go.
Yeah, that ankle will be so much
better. You know, with Hassan Haskin,
he gets his body will take a little rest from the battering that he's dished out. But, you know, you got to figure in the back of Harbaugh and Gattis's mind, if we can run the football on this defense, it is over.
Absolutely. And then that'll scare the heck out of Alabama then, too, the next following week. But I do like Michigan, and I just thinking about the, you know, how coordinators get picked off of programs, I just hope Michigan can keep this coaching staff together for a while.
Well, they're not going anywhere this year. If they, I mean, they would have already been recruited out of there.
Yeah.
So I think Michigan as a whole, players, staff, and Harbaugh, like where they're at right now, and they want to continue to prove it.
Sure.
If they can't run on Georgia, they can throw the football effectively enough.
Yep.
On the inverse, you know, obviously that Georgia offense was not that impressive against, you know, an Alabama defense that is not fantastic. You know, you're talking about two defensive teams here, Georgia and Michigan, that are probably pretty close to each other talent-wise, right? They both, if Georgia's going to try to pass the football, well, they better protect their quarterback because they're going to have some issues there.
They are. They
are. Hutchinson, Ajabo come around the end. Of course, they have Georgia has that big nose tackle, Davis, that 350-pound monster. But you notice what Alabama did. They played a lot of hurry-up offense, and it got him tired. He was tired. So I'm sure Gattis and Harbaugh saw that as well. You might see Michigan play a little up-tempo once in a while.
Well, you saw teams do it to Michigan. I mean, that's what Michigan State did to Michigan, and it was extremely effective.
Michigan struggled to get their calls in.
Yeah, they did. So, it's going to be a fascinating study on what staffs do to get ready for the game. You know, Kirby Smart has got to prove that he can win a big football game.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Because he's always, like you said, the top three recruiting class for the last number of years, and he doesn't have those signature wins that he needs.
Well, gee, sounds like somebody else we know.
Yeah. But Jason took the words right out of my mouth, Jason.
Except for Harbaugh has been to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then now he's beaten
his resume is a little better.
How nice is it that we're speaking about Michigan as being very, very relevant nationally again? This kind of feels good. It feels right, finally, for the first time in a long time.
Well, you know, there's a few programs in football that the sport is better when Michigan is better, when Notre Dame is better.
Yes.
You know, we'll see if USC returns to relevancy.
Sure.
I mean, look at, you know, with USC not being a force at all, the whole Pac-12 is kind of like, you know, they're never even mentioned about making it into the conversation.
Exactly.
And, you know,
they lose that status.
When Pete Carroll was there, USC was as big a program as there was.
Look at all the pro players they put out. Holy cow.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Lincoln Riley probably has a fantastic opportunity to turn that program around. And I don't think they're going to lack for quarterback talent.
Holy cow. I'm surprised that one kid is transferring in there when he's taking the kid from Oklahoma with him. I mean, I'm shocked that the kid with that much experience is.
Well, you know, Slovis is out of there.
Yes.
I mean, look at how many quarterbacks are bouncing around in college. It's insane.
There are more than 1,000 players in the transfer portal right now.
It truly is a college free agency. It truly is.
It's hard to keep up.
Yeah.
Until Tucker announces another two players coming in. I mean, they had another 7 guys hit the portal.
Yes. That's why this whole National Signing Day is almost, it's not secondary. It's still pretty important, but the transfer portal and recruiting your own team, which players the coach is going to keep now, has become equally important, which is why the college coaches are trying to change the dates of the National Signing Day and so on, because this whole transfer portal business and keeping your own players is so important.
It is, and that's what I was going to mention, that Keith, is that a lot of college football writers, Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, all that, are saying that you're going to see this early signing period change. Going to get it out of December, it out of there.
They're going to go back to the original February.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was cool back then, because it's the middle of the winter, all of that for us up here, and then
college
it was
football
such a huge
is over.
Day.
Yeah. So, you're probably right. And if you've got all these guys that, and I don't know what the window is for these players that can transfer. I don't know what the actual dates are. But, you know, if you've got a kid who's contemplating transferring out and then they see, you know, two players that play his position, highly ranked recruits coming in there, you know, it's just like another a stamp on, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right. You know, I need playing time.
And you saw, you know, a couple kids transfer out of LSU. Brian Kelly was able to keep the Miles Brennan quarterback kid who was going to transfer out, is going to stay in. Yeah, it's a crazy time for sports. And then, you know, just very briefly, guys, the kid that headed to Jackson State, most
number
people think the
over.
Number one highest ranked recruit in college football is going to Jackson State.
Neon Sanders, man.
And he flipped him from Florida State.
Yeah.
How ironic is that? His own alma mater.
You know, like 3 or 4 years ago, he used to be out there boostering all these kids.
Yes.
But that, now with Coach Bowden dead, he could give two craps about it.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see what that, you know, they had a huge recruiting class last year. They had a top 25 recruiting class last year.
Yeah.
I mean, Deion is a megawatt recruiter, obviously.
Yeah, players love him. And
yeah.
His own kid was the starting quarterback and one of the kids that played last year.
So it'll be interesting if he decides to pull the Eddie Robinson and be down there for a while and be able to just run his own show, or if he's going to get lured out.
Sure.
That will be one of the big stories in college football.
That's right.
Yeah,
for sure.
Right. So, very, very cool stuff. When we return here on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, we'll talk about the other side of football, which is the NFL. And we're approaching the final stretch in the NFL, guys, and FanDuel Sportsbook has a little something different to offer. During this weekend's matchup between the Bucs and the Saints, because FanDuel is giving new customers 25-1 odds on any touchdown scored in that game, I would imagine there's going to be a touchdown scored there. That means you can win $125 on a $5 bet. My money is on Gronkowski to score a touchdown, at least one touchdown to make that touchdown. You can try a same-game parlay bet, prop bets, and more.
It's sports betting made simple. FanDuel is the number one rated sports book in America because it's easy to use, safe and secure, and you get paid in as little as 2 hours when you win. Just sign up with promo code WGRY before the Sunday night matchup, and you could win $125 on a $5 bet.
That's right. Remember to use the promo code WGRY so they know I sent you, exclusively on FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 and over and present in the state of Michigan, new users only, $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market, max bonus $125. Restrictions do apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
We'll be back after these messages from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio Friday Faceoff. Welcome back to Up North Sports Radio Friday Faceoff here, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey, Jerry Coyne, Rich Calkins, and Keith Gave in studio. And guys, the Lions season, we're not going to win another game.
No, I don't think so.
No, with Hockenson out.
Yeah, for the rest of the year.
I mean, you know, Jared Goff's got to be looking like, well, maybe I don't need to play the rest of the year.
The only thing good is he's got a decent offensive line.
Yes.
And Penei Sewell, he, of all the tackles that graded out last week, he played the very best game of every tackle in the NFL. So, that I mean, there are positive signs, obviously.
No, you're right. The offensive line is good. I mean, Amon St. Rob has turned into a more than capable wide receiver.
He's tough.
The defense, well, you can't. What can you say about it? It's just so hard to judge the performance against the Broncos with, it's hard for me to keep track of the guys on the Lions anyways,
right.
But this time around, I'm like, who?
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And the defense has been almost a pleasant surprise this season. But they lost a young cornerback.
Who had been playing really well.
Yes, it just never ends.
That's the NFL.
Like we said,
I don't want to go back to the conversation we had an hour ago, but you need to have 65 guys to play NFL football. It's just as simple as that.
Right. And taking COVID out of it, there's injuries. Yeah. You know, it's the most physical game out there. You need to have bodies. I like paying backseat GM. Just like if the Lions next year get Aiden Hutchinson, and then this Davis kid is projected to be in the mid-20s. That's where the Lions draft in their second first-round pick. Just think if they have those two guys anchoring their defense for years.
Hutchinson more than Thibodeau?
I don't know, because I haven't seen Thibodeau enough. I haven't watched. He's a freak athlete.
I know.
But he doesn't have the motor of Hutchinson. Hutchinson just, he's the energizer bunny.
That's right. I'd like to see the Lions draft it.
I do, too.
I'd like to see
Well, you know, it's funny. What's his name? The gray kid that's playing so well for the Packers from Michigan.
Mm. Rashawn Gary.
Rashawn Gary, excuse me.
Yeah.
A lot of these kids that have been coming out of Michigan are excelling in the NFL.
Yeah, and so, he changed, but he went to a stand-up position, you know. Remember, this kid's almost 300 pounds in college, you know, 280, 290, and they move him to outside linebacker in their 3-4 defense at Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So that's totally different when you got to, you know, drop in certain zones for coverage and this and that. But he is going after quarterbacks this year with a vengeance, and it's really cool.
Well, he's talked about what McDonald has done, the change in the defensive scheme has freed him up.
Exactly. I mean, when you can do the things that you want to do and what you're best at, that's what a good coach does. You put your players in their best position to succeed.
So the Lions play a pretty good Arizona team this week coming into the
pretty good.
Pretty good.
Going to be angry,
really
too.
Really good, yeah, and they will be. And they're a 13-point underdog. The question is, the only question really is, can Detroit, do they have a remote chance to even cover the 13 points in this game?
Well, of course.
You do, well, the Lions do cover generally, but we...
They're the best cover team in the NFL.
Is that right?
They
wow.
are.
Wow.
It was the... Actually, it might be the Cowboys now
okay.
with what happened last week. But the Cowboys and the Lions were neck and neck.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing. Well, no matter what people say about Dan Campbell, and you can say a lot and for his press conference or whatever, I tell you, he... The guys, the team plays hard for him, no matter what. They give it their all. There's none of this Urban Meyer crap going on where they, you know, don't respect.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What are you talking about?
I mean, the list of things that guy is so arrogant to think that he could do and run a professional football team is just crazy.
And they announced it in the wee hours of the morning. It was late.
It was
like midnight.
Yes.
That they announced that they'd made that change.
Did you hear what he did? He met with the coaches beforehand and told them, you guys are in charge of all the game play. Didn't tell them what had happened. Didn't tell any of the coaches.
Really?
Yes. Did not tell. He said, you guys are in charge of the game plans this week, and walked out. That is what his goodbye to his coaching staff was. Because remember, they're all losers anyway. Because Urban's a winner. He knows how to win.
He is a winner.
Oh, he can. He's a good coach. He was a good college coach. But, man, can he not relate on the NFL level at all? I mean, when he tried to hire for strength and conditioning a guy that's been accused of being the biggest racist in college football, and they had testimonials from former Iowa players of what the things that he said, and Urban Meyer was so egotistical and arrogant that he thought he could put him in here at an NFL team, and the black players are looking at him like, what are you doing?
And then he loses the game in Cincinnati and sends the team back home and stays in Cincinnati, goes to his bar in Columbus, where he's...
Of course, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Unheard of for a coach not to accompany his team. And gets caught twerking. In his bar.
He is opening up a new auto
shop. That's why
shop.
You own a bar.
Yeah.
Keith,
yeah.
You say it as like you're shocked.
Well, that's what they...
Stock in the pond.
They changed the name of the bar. It's the Urban Meyer Bump and Grind. Like an auto body shop.
Will he get another job?
If he wants it.
Sure.
I think collegiately, I don't think, and he'll sniff the NFL again.
No, I mean, look at this. There'll
be
something happened. Almost the exact same thing happened to Steve Spurrier.
Did it? I don't remember.
Remember he went to the Redskins? He was there for a year and a half. Most college coaches, especially guys that run that kind of program, and Spurrier, you got to put Spurrier and
look at
Bobby, Urban Meyer in the same type of program.
Sure, they're on the same level.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Look at Saban figured it out. Was Saban there? And was it? Did he make it a whole year? I think he did.
In Miami.
Made it a whole year and two games into his second year.
Said that to
them. Left
LSU. Stupid. Yeah. I can't get done when I need to get done because there's too many egos involved.
Yes. Yeah. They're getting paid a whole lot of money, and these guys are, a lot of them are grown men. They have families. They have that. You can't talk to adults like you can college kids.
And you can't kick your kicker.
No, you can't. And call them all kinds of names. A pregame speech for him.
God bless Woody Hayes.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
You know, Urban, I would have punched him, but he's the kicker, so I figured I needed to kick him. The kicker.
It was fitting, wasn't it?
You know, the whole report is that he kicked him. He said, you need to make your bleepity-bleep kicks.
Oh, it was just like...
There you go. That's going to instill your kicker the confidence he needs.
Vote of confidence right there during the pregame warm-ups. Thanks, Coach. I'll go get him.
You are so right, Coach. I am horse crap.
Oh, my god.
I woke up this morning, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, I'm horse crap.
And I almost think the last couple of weeks, he knew it was over. He didn't even, like, did you see the handshake?
Oh, that was the best.
Oh, my gosh. He walks across the field, and he was so dejected, and he gives a limp fish to Vrabel, Mike Vrabel, Tennessee coach. He just, like, he was out. You could tell. He was checked out, man.
Yeah, it's, you know, and now it'll be interesting because he kicked a guy. How is he going to get paid? Because it's a 5-year contract.
Yeah.
You can bet.
So, there'll be some cash settlement here.
Absolutely.
So the interesting thing will be, will he get a high-profile college job? I mean, he's not even 60 yet. He's 58 years old.
Right.
So, you know, Notre Dame went out the window, although I don't think Notre Dame would – I heard that they had called – but, you know, Notre Dame would have been insane to have offered that job.
Prior to this job, he probably would have been, obviously, number one guy.
Notre Dame, I mean, that was one of the biggest surprises in the history of college recruiting when he went from Utah to Florida instead of ND. You know, he loved Notre Dame. My dad was still alive at the time. I don't think he ever got over it.
Is that right?
Oh, everybody assumed that Urban Meyer was going to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's never going to happen, but if I were the Nebraska AD, I'd be putting a phone call in.
Oh.
A bad recruiting class after all these
I don't know if Nebraska is
going to
be.
Well,
it was one of the
high-profile jobs in the business.
I don't know what's going to happen with Nebraska because, again, it's just the way kids are recruited now and where Nebraska's at and everything. It's never going to get back to where it was.
We're way over, but back to college recruiting again. You see the Deion getting this high-profile kid.
Yeah.
A lot of some speculation is more kids might be doing that now because they could be a high-profile player at a smaller school, an all-black school, whatever,
yes,
and make real NIL money.
Yeah.
They're making money there as opposed to going to Alabama where you're not going to play until your junior year, so you can't make any money.
No.
Yeah, but the Ohio State kid made $1.5 million and then transferred.
Down to Texas. And he's from Texas. Yeah, exactly.
And he skipped his senior year in high school to do it all. But he got paid $1 million.
Right.
I'll tell you what, both Texas A&M especially, and Texas both had great recruiting.
They did.
This year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll see what – I mean, maybe Urban Meyer will be at Texas next year because I don't care how they recruit. What's his name? I don't think he's a good head coach.
The
old coordinator, Sarkisian.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I mean, they lost a ton of games last year.
They did.
Amazing.
That was. And they got off to a hot start. But I think Urban Meyer's going to go on the Bobby Petrino redemption tour. Remember him? He was the guy that got in the motorcycle accident. Good coach. Got in a motorcycle accident with the secretary or whatever the case was. And he'll do something like maybe have to go to a little lesser school initially.
That's the question.
Can he do that?
I don't know if Urban Meyer is going to take.
His ego won't allow him to do that.
North Carolina State.
Right.
Boston College.
Right, yeah. They just won't allow him to do. I mean, his own mind won't allow him to do it. Because, again, he's so arrogant. He just like, you know, you go back to the Big Ten media, or when Ohio State was in trouble before he left, and all of that. And he's sitting there next to the AD, and he couldn't believe that he got suspended for a couple of games for allowing an abuser on his staff. I mean, seriously? Urban's all defiant there. He's like, really? He just thinks he can do whatever he wants.
That's right. A lot of players think they're above the rules.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, no, I mean,
the
you're
rules,
exactly
other
right,
people.
Because when you win and you how much money does he generate for college is insane.
When you have the college president saying, you know, he's...
I'm lucky he doesn't fire me.
Exactly. He's more important than I am. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. When you're like, who's really in charge here? We all know.
You hate to hear it, but it's refreshing to hear the truth.
It is. Yes. Yeah. But that was hilarious for that school president to say that.
Yeah. So, Keith, anything else before we head to the Fick and Sons... Sportscape?
Go Lions. It's going to be tough sledding for them against this good team, but I just hope that all the leagues can figure out this COVID business so we can keep the sports. It's
exactly.
Pretty frustrating.
Yeah.
Pretty frustrating. You guys have a good weekend and good holidays. This is the last time we're going to continue.
It is, yeah, exactly. So we'll be 3 weeks year, from today, we'll be back at it.
Yeah. Christmas and Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah, I will be talking to you this afternoon on the JC in the Afternoon show on Q100.
Yep, thank you.
Go get him, Keith.
It is time for the Fick and Sons High School Sportscape Show. Fick and Sons proudly supports all Northern Michigan student-athletes. For all your propane needs, contact Fick and Sons, local, competitive, reliable, fickandsons.com. I just have to mention, Rich, you know, we've had some power issues.
Yes.
And we ran out of propane. Fick and Sons determined that part of our problem was that our tank wasn't big enough. They were lucky to get us a bigger tank, and they're switching all of it out.
Oh,
I
cool.
I cannot stress how much Fick and Sons has helped us out in this situation. We should have all that stuff behind us in the next 45 minutes or so. So kudos to Chad and all the guys. We had a guy out there last night that dropped some propane out there, and then, you know, a whole bigger kettle of fish was uncovered.
Right.
And, you know, know how bad you need propane until you need it.
Until you need it, I guess. But what customer service by Fick and Sons to go above and beyond, JC. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, so... we're back into a full swing with the high school basketball.
We are.
Your home team, TC West, had a couple of snags to open up the season, but they're back at it today.
Yeah, they are, absolutely. And heading north, that'll be the first game I've called here, and Tom Devitt will be on hand as well. So really looking forward to that as TC West takes on Bloomfield Hills as they head north. JC, looking forward to that game. So it should be a fun one. The TC West off to an 0-2 start right now. But they played a couple of good teams, of course. They have played, obviously, Dearborn, and then they went down to Saginaw and took on Saginaw Heritage as well. So look at that's going to be a 7 p.m. tip-off there. Again, you'll be able to listen at 106.3, and hopefully we'll be up and streaming as well on the Q100 website as well. So, but the... Again, Big North Conference, of course, a lot of teams playing non-conference games,
yep.
All of that right now, so you really don't get into conference play until after the new year. But let's go just a little bit of the Big North Conference right
now. Well, and just briefly, talking about the teams that we cover, the Grayling Vikings were canceled yesterday, so that game will be on 100.3 tonight.
Yes, yeah. Against a very good St. Francis team.
Yes, it's a huge game.
Oh, it is.
I'm so glad that they were able to fit it in the day after.
Yes.
You know, so far, Grayling's looked pretty good.
They have. Yeah, they're scoring some points, and they lost a heartbreaker at Algemah Heights the other night, on Tuesday night. A game that Grayling had a chance for the winning shot. It was tied up. And Algemah stole the ball and made a bucket as the buzzer sounded underneath the basket. And Grayling was in a little bit of shock on that one. And good job by Chad Patterson and Scott Nicholas in calling that game. It was really an exciting game. But, again, unfortunately, Grayling lost one. But they should learn a lot from that game. They've got to take care of the basketball. And should be a good one at Grayling High School
tonight.
Yeah,
they got some good athletes.
They do, yeah.
You know, but by all accounts, this is a really good St. Francis basketball team. So we'll really get a great read on what Grayling Vikings are like on the boys' side.
Yeah, absolutely. Because their first couple of games, they played Mancelona initially and all that. So, again, yeah, the competition gets ratcheted up here tonight. So that, again, will be a good one. Like JC had mentioned, that will be on 100.3 and also available to stream as well.
Yeah, so go ahead and give us the some slate of games that you're interested in. Rich, we were hoping to have James Cook on, but with some of the internet problems we're having, we cannot get the phone line up.
Right, exactly. Actually, JC, let me quickly go over just a couple of scores from last night's action, because, again, each conference is a little different. Some
no teams
doubt. Are playing Thursday nights, Friday nights, all that. So Sault Ste. Marie won a low-scoring battle, a 48-42 contest against St. Ignace. This is boys basketball now. And a high-scoring affair on the east side of the Upper Peninsula, Cedarville over Brimley, 86-72. A little bit of Lake Michigan Conference action. We have Elk Rapids, who is playing really well. I believe they're undefeated so far this year. They beat Charlevoix 55-45, and in a close game, Kalkaska boys got their first win of the year, a 51-48 tilt over Harbor Springs. Also, a little bit of the Cherryland Conference. Lake Leelanau St. Mary won 65-45 over TC Christian. And Pine River beat Everett 55-41 also in around the area sports. Clare, what defense played by Clare? They only allowed 27 points to Shepherd as they won 41-27. So really a low-scoring tilt there, JC.
And then we've got... the slate of games coming up tonight that we'll touch in a minute, but I do want to give a shout-out to Fick & Sons as your local, competitive, and reliable propane provider. But there's so much more. Home and commercial heating fuel, you can visit Charlie's Country Corner at I-75 and 4 Mile Road for Arby's, a convenience store with everything from coffee to car accessories, the Super 8 Motel by Wyndham, and the full-service diesel garage. Visit Fick & Sons and Roscommon at the Sunny Spot Fuel and Convenience Store, or fuel up with Fick & Sons at the M72 stop at Bear Lakes Marathon and Convenience Store, or at the Lincoln Marathon for fuel, propane, cylinder refills and exchanges, off-road diesel, and a deli that's coming soon. Find out what Fick & Sons has near you at fickandsons.com.
So a deli going in there now. They're covering all the bases out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, especially if you love Arby's. That's the Arby's spot here.
Yes,
right?
It is. Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah. Yes, my computer is not bringing up the tonight's tilt of games, JC, so I'm not able to get all of them. Of course, we do, again, Grayling hosting St. Francis, Traverse City St. Francis tonight. TC West, of course, taking on Bloomfield Hills over at TC West. Gaylord is in action tonight, and Gaylord will be playing, traveling up to Petoskey as they take on the Northmen there. And let me see what else. TC Central off to an 0-2 start right now. A little bit surprising. They played some close games. They played Dearborn very tough. They lost 52-45, and then they played Muskegon. Of course, no easy task, of course, and lost 59-35. They actually are at home, TC Central is, as they take on Marquette tonight. So that should be a long bus ride for Marquette coming down to take on that. And then let's see what Alpena, what they have going on tonight, another big North Conference team.
Well, I've got some of them pulled
Cadillac
up here.
Here.
You got Inland Lakes is at Bel Air. Alpena's at Cadillac.
Yes.
Onaway at Forest Area, Frankfort at Kingsley, Sutton's Bay at Leland, Central Lake at Mancelona, Joburg is at, that's funny. So they got Joburg at Mancelona and Central Lake at Mancelona.
Wow.
It'd be an interesting game there. Ludington at Manistee, Buckley at Glen Lake, Benzie Central at Onekama, our good friends Gaylord St. Mary at Pelston, Gaylord's at Petoskey, Marquette is playing Traverse City Central at TC Central. And as you mentioned, the game that you'll be calling on 106.3, Bloomfield Hills at Traverse City West. Just for the girls, Rich, you got Manton at Beale City, Inland Lakes at Bel Air, Onekama at Benzie Central, East Jordan at Boyne City, Big Rapids Crossroad at Brethren, Glen Lake at Buckley, Charlevoix at Elk Rapids, Kingsley at Frankfort. There you go. That should be a great game.
Yes.
Petoskey's at Gaylord. Kalkaska Harbor is at Harbor Springs. Traverse City Bulldogs.
Be the Christian
ISD
school.
Yeah. Manistee at Ludington. Manistee Catholic at Marion. Leland at North Bay and Grayling. The Grayling girls are at Traverse City St. Francis. So
they'll be passing. The teams will be passing on M72.
So, yeah, we will have all the sports scores for you here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
Yes, yep, 10 o'clock on the Bill Marsh High School Scoreboard Show. Looking forward to that.
Yep, we'll have some coaches' interviews and start getting a better picture of what teams are going to be contenders throughout northern Michigan, Rich.
Exactly. And like you said, JC, the further we get along here, for most teams, this is their last action and, until the new year. There are a few teams that will play in some tournaments. Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. But not everybody does that. So some will get like 2 weeks off and then looking forward to the new year, and then we'll get really into the heart of the schedule.
All right. So thank you for turning into the Fick and Sons High School Sportscape Show on Up North Sports Radio. Remember, for all your propane needs, contact Fick and Sons, local, competitive, reliable, and go out of their way to make sure that you don't run out of propane. Trust me, we know here at Barney Stone Broadcasting. Check them out at fickandsons.com. We'll see you tomorrow morning for the Bill Marsh Scoreboard Show.